go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you again for your goodness, for your mercy. Help us to do your will, bring glory to you. Again, we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, bring greetings to you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessed this morning just to think of the mercy of God and the greatness of God and His reaching down to us, and just to be in awe of Him. That's truly what worship is to realize what He's done for us, who He is, and to just to express gratefulness and thankfulness for that, not only with our mouths, but with our whole hearts and our lives. And that's truly what, how we can become like Him and become what He wants us to be. This morning, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. I want to talk this morning about, there were some young men came up last night and asked us why we served the Lord, or why we believed in God. And they just wanted to know what motivated us, or why we believed the way we do, or why we believed in God. And I thought about it, and we told them last night that one of the main things that mm-hmm. caused us to believe in God, or to believe that there is a God, that He is real, is just the idea that there is goodness in the world. We see evil all around us. We see bad. We know that there's wrong and that there's evil. But just the little glimmer of goodness that is available, that we can reach out and find, is one of the things that convinces me most that there is a God. And we talked about some different things, about how Christ came, why we believe what Jesus taught, that when Christ came, He taught us to rise above the normal, to rise above just the status quo of humanity, and how He taught us things that would bring us above those things, to bring us up to a level of higher than humanity, bring us to what would be godly. And it's really just that simple. That's why we believe in Jesus. I mean, they want us to say, well, we believe because the Bible says so, or we believe because we've been taught, or because our church says this, or whatever. But we believe because we believe there is something higher. Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. It says that in Hebrews. And then it, whenever it talks about by faith in Hebrews 11, we must believe that He is, and is, that is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. When we talk about seeking God, it's not just seeking to be in the presence of a greater being than ourselves, but seeking to be like Him and who He is. And truly that should be our goal this morning. It's not about a denomination. It's not about a core set of values that we place. It's about seeking after God and seeking to be like Him. In Matthew 18, verse 21, the title here is Forgiveness. one of the elements of Jesus' teachings is forgiveness. And in the conversation, one of the men said, "Well, I'm saved, but why do I keep doing the way I do? And or why?" He's forgiven, and I've just thought about that this morning. And you know, everybody wants to be forgiven. They want forgiveness, and the common message or the common remedy to obtain forgiveness is just to ask. To ask forgiveness. And I just want to look at what Jesus taught about that and how that is not the remedy to forgiveness. Just because we ask. I don't know how many times we've been in situations where people have called and asked forgiveness, wanted our forgiveness, wanted us to release them from what they've done, and then they just go and do the very same thing, or it doesn't change a thing at all in how they live or how they act, but they feel better because they've asked forgiveness, because they've went through this motion of just trying to find some rest in their own selves or in peace in their own hearts. And it's purely selfish. The motive is about what I can get out of this, how I can feel better, how my conscience can be relieved, because I go to the person I've offended and just ask forgiveness for them. That is what is taught. That is what everybody believes, that all I have to do is ask for forgiveness and then everything will be taken away. I've dealing with some people this week, and some children have been, I don't know what the problem is for sure, but the father was asking, "Well, should I ask forgiveness from my children because I disciplined them, or I had a little bit of anger when I disciplined them? Do I need to apologize to my children?" Trying to think that that's going to fix everything. And I told him, "Listen, if you have actually gone out and done something wrong against your children, and you've hurt them, or you've actually gone and punished them when they didn't deserve it, well, maybe you can talk to them about forgiveness. But if just in the course of life you're trying to discipline your children, you're trying to train them, no, you don't need to ask forgiveness. Maybe you didn't do everything just right. No, unless you've willfully chosen to do harm to them, it is not the place of the Father to go asking forgiveness, thinking that that's going to fix anything. Because it's not. All that's going to do is put the Father in the level below the children and put the children in charge. Or whoever's putting this idea in the children, that gives them leverage. And they think that because the Father's now bowing down to us, and now the Father appears to be humble because he's asking forgiveness. That's as phony as it gets. Forgiveness is something whenever you've done something wrong. If you've actually done something wrong, yeah, there's a place for it. But just to ask forgiveness because you're trying to be a father, or just ask forgiveness because you're trying to do what's right and somebody doesn't like it, there's no room for that. How to obtain forgiveness? How to obtain forgiveness? Let's read this here. Verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" 7 times. He answered his own question. He tried to. He said, "Lord, how often am I supposed to forgive people? 7 times even?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. We know this, 490 times. In other words, an infinite amount. It's not about the number of times that you've got to forgive something. It's about being forgiving. See, One of the first lessons in forgiveness, it's not about what the other person has done to you that needs forgiven. Forgiveness releases you. Forgiveness, when someone's done you wrong, for me to forgive them is what it takes to release me from what they've done. So that it's not about me releasing them, it's about me being released. It doesn't matter how many times. The question should be is, how many times do you want to be forgiven? Is what the question should be. Not how many times do I have to forgive someone. It's how many times do you want to be released from this burden of holding a grudge. This burden of thinking that someone owes you something. How many times do you? In other words, are you like God, willing to forgive and to forgive and to forgive injustices? Or are you going to set a limit and just be a judge? So that I'm not going to forgive you anymore. What that does is binds you. Whenever you forgive someone, not only are you releasing them, you're releasing yourself from this. Because if you won't forgive, you're holding on to something yourself. The little saying, to err is human, but to forgive is divine. To err is what we do. That's who we are. We make mistakes. We do err. But to forgive is to be godlike. And so when Peter asked this question, how many times do I forgive? Jesus is just saying, do you want to be godlike? Or do you want to wallow around in humanity like sinful humanity? Or do you want to be godlike? To forgive, like Peter was talking about, is to keep track of how many times do I got to go through this? But to forgive, to be divine, is to say, there's no amount of times. Because it's not a matter of how many times. It's a matter of, are you going to be divine? Or are you going to be human? Are you going to continue in these errors? Or do you want to be set free? That's the things that lifts us up above religion. Religion doesn't forgive. There's no forgiveness in religion. There's a set of rules. There's a criteria that if you don't meet up with, then you can't be a part of it. Divinity, divine, godliness doesn't set limits like that. It doesn't say how many times. It's to be divine. It's to be godly, and it's to release. I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. It's a matter of a character. It's a character. It's a godliness. Or it's by the numbers. And that's what he's trying to say here. To forgive someone is not just to ask forgiveness. It's to give forgiveness. And that's what the question is. So many times people say, well, I'm not going to do that until they change their ways. I'm not going to forgive them. You are binding yourself to them. You are binding yourself to them. You're letting them control you when you won't forgive. Such a simple thing. Just to let something go. And yet it is so almost impossible for people to do. It's just a hard thing because it's binding us. Satan is just wants for someone to do you wrong. Not because he wants you wrong, done wrong, because he knows that if they do you wrong and you won't release them, he gets his foot in the door. He gets a handhold. He gets his grip around you. And it just eats you and chews on you and chews on you. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't know how many times I've tried to talk people and talk about forgiveness to them. And I've heard them recount something that someone has done to them and they just can't let it go. That person may have happened 20 or 30 years ago. What happened? The person that did the offense probably doesn't even know what he did. The person that did it, the person, it was probably such a small thing to them that they have no recollection of what they did, so egregious to this other person, that this other person is just built into something huge, just full of bitterness and anger against this person because they did this to me, and the other person don't even know what he did. Don't even remember what he did. And this person has lived in bondage for years about some little something that somebody did to them that they don't even remember about. And I asked them, who is hurting here? Who is hurting who here? You are only hurting yourself. What they did a long time ago. They're not still doing it anymore. It's just something they did. But you've drug this out for 30 years or 20 years or 10 years or however long. You've drug this out and you've made it. And it's now you doing this to yourself over and over. Way bigger than the initial sin or the initial offense. And you yourself have made it bigger and bigger and hurt yourself with and beat yourself with it over and over and over again. When if you would have forgiven it, let it go, given it away, given it up, wouldn't have mattered to anything. And that person might actually have had an opportunity to see what they've done. They might get the opportunity to be released from it so that they could see now, so that God could show them a better way. But because we've hung on to it, because it's you're binding them too. Because you won't let forgiveness, you won't give forgiveness. Then Jesus goes on and gives an explanation. He says, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. There was a requirement. There was an ability to reckon the accounts. And so the Lord said, this is what we're going to do. You're going to be sold. And he was perfectly just to do that. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. Here's the asking. Okay, here's the asking. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Because the Lord is good, because he's merciful, He releases him. He releases him. He's free. He releases himself from him. He doesn't have to worry about collecting a debt. So he's actually releasing himself. When someone's done us wrong and they want forgiveness, they ask forgiveness, you release them. You're setting yourself free. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." Here's another asking forgiveness. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, "You wicked slave, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me." See, here's the asking again. The pleading. Asking forgiveness. Yeah, it'll be granted. It'll be granted. I'll release myself from what you want. But that's not real forgiveness. That's not real forgiveness. Just because I'm released from my offenses to someone else, is that forgiveness? Have I been forgiven just because I ask? And just because the person, in the goodness of the person or the goodness of God, has said, "Okay, you're forgiven." That's where everybody wants. But that's not real forgiveness. We think that that's going to work. We think that that's all we need. Just the simple, "You're forgiven." But see, there's another element here. We're still involved in this. Our will is still involved in this. It's not that someone else is good that releases me from my forgiveness. I still have to do it myself. That release still has to come from me. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave and the same way that I had mercy on you?" See, right here is where you find forgiveness. Real forgiveness is that if it doesn't pass along, if it doesn't go through you and pass on to something else, it's just a selfish, self-centered, false, phony type of salve, surface forgiveness. That's what most people have experienced. They want God to bless them, and it stops right there. Doesn't go any further. What can I get out of this? What's in it for me? I've got a guilty conscience. I want my conscience fixed. And so I get forgiveness. Oh, my conscience feels better. But that's as far as it goes. It stops right there. "Should you not have also had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" The direct, what I pass on to others, how I treat others, is the effect, is the extent that I've actually received something from God myself. If I don't reflect forgiveness in others, I'm not reflecting that I received it from God. If I don't extend it to others, I'm not showing that I ever even received it myself. Do you understand? The same way that I had mercy on you. If you have received mercy of the Lord and cannot show mercy to anyone else, you haven't received anything. If you have not offered forgiveness to other people, the same way you think you've received forgiveness from the Lord, you haven't received anything. Mercy, compassion, love, faith, all of that. How we reflect it to others is how we've received it from the Lord. And if there's no room for mercy, if there's no room for forgiveness, if there's no room for patience with other people, it's because we don't know anything about the forgiveness and mercy and patience that the Lord has with us. That's divinity. To err is human, but to express forgiveness, to express mercy, to express long-suffering, to express patience is divine. Those are attributes of godliness in us. And that's what he's trying to show us here. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers till he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you. So many people think that they're forgiven because they've asked forgiveness. So many people think that they will receive mercy because they've asked for mercy and they want it themselves. So many people think that they're saved because they've asked for it. But they've missed the key element. If each of you does not forgive his brother, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you. If each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. What makes it real is when we give it to someone else. What makes it real? What activates it? You know, you buy these cards and they've got them hanging out, for a gift card, just hanging on the wall for Walmart or whatever. All these different gift cards. They're absolutely worthless. It says the name on it. It says if you put it in the machine, it won't work because it's not been activated. It looks real, looks just like the other. Nobody can just look at an activated card and a deactivated card or a dead card and tell any difference in them. They're hanging there, right there in rows of them. They all look the same. But they're all dead until they're activated. Salvation comes not because God is good. He does that. He forgives. But it's not activated until we take it and turn around and give it to someone else. Until we express what He's given to us, that's what takes the little computer chip, turns it on, and puts in an amount on the little cards you buy. Is whenever it's given away. And that's how what's activated. That's how forgiveness is activated. That's how mercy is activated. That's how long-suffering is activated. when it actually reflects the one who's given it. Forgiveness, true forgiveness, can only come when you forgive. You can't just go out and, okay, I'm going to forgive and then I'll be forgiven. No. When you truly reflect that you have been forgiven, you will forgive. When you truly reflect that you've received mercy, you will give mercy. That's why Jesus talked about 70 times 7. That's an infinity of amount. That means a complete amount. It's who you are. It's what you are. Not just a bunch of numbers. Okay, I've done it 490 times today. I'm free. You do it 491 times and I'm not forgiving you. That's not what he meant. An infinity. It's you're in line with divinity now. Not just a numbers game. Not just a religion that you do it so many times and you're good. It's actually being connected that God has forgiven me. I'm going to forgive others. And if that doesn't work that way, it's just as dead as an old card hanging on a wall at Walmart. It's worthless. My Heavenly Father will do the same to you. That's why it's you love God with all your heart and the expression of that and your neighbor as yourself. That's why that they go together hand in hand. Because if we love God, it's going to be expressed to the people we can see. If we've tasted the divine, it will be expressed if it's real. If it's just some conjured up religion, it won't. It can look holy, it can look righteous, it can look all the things we think is just, wow, that's a prophet, that's a saint. But if it isn't mixed with divinity, if it isn't mixed with true godliness, which is mercy, goodness, love, kindness, all of those things, it's worthless. We want forgiveness? Express it. We want mercy? Express it. That's how you cash in on it. That's how you cash in on it. That's where real forgiveness comes. How to find forgiveness? Give some of it away. How to find forgiveness? Give it. Give it. Is it always easy? No. But if we try to hold on to it, it holds on to us. It will bind us. It will devour us. The way to be set free is to set free. We got to let go of ourselves. Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is ourselves. And we got to let that go too. We got to forgive ourselves. There's people that are in bondage to not forgiving themselves. If you fail, recognize it, get up, and go again. Don't drag yourself, don't tie an anchor around your neck for your past. Let it go. There's nothing you can do to fix it. Forgive yourself. Let it go just like you let it go with somebody else. See, if we won't let it go from ourselves, how can we be free? How can we be free? Jesus came to set us free. That's how we know there's something to this. Because it's lifting us above. It's bringing us to something higher than ourselves. And it's there. We see evil. We see people who won't forgive. And then we see someone that does. That didn't come from ourselves. That comes from God. To err is human. To forgive is divine. To see the attributes of God, the goodness of God in this world, is to receive what He gives and then reflect it to someone else. That's what makes it valid. That's what validates the card. Is when it's passed on to somebody else. Anyway. Father, we come before You, and again we praise You and we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You, God, for all that You do for us. We thank You for forgiveness and mercy. Help us, Lord, express that to others. Help us to be faithful to You and bring glory to You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone have anything you want to share? All right. Well, we'll plan on. Go ahead.
Well, as something you mentioned a couple times about something similar, that repentance is kind of the same way. Someone says, I'm sorry. But whether they do or they don't apologize, that what they do after that kind of really makes that real or not real.
Yes. Yeah. I would much rather have someone, when confronted with what they've done wrong, just, quit, change it, than to have some big, tearful apology and then go back and do the same thing again. True repentance, just like true forgiveness, it's reflecting how you respond to what you do.
It's not our responsibility to, for there to be justice made necessarily. I mean, I think that can be a hindrance to release whatever, well, they didn't make it right.
Right. Well, the problem is whether anyone makes it right or not, if I don't release them, I'm still bound to it.
Right.
Whether they do it right or wrong, if I won't release them in myself, if there's not forgiveness from the heart, that's what forgiveness from the heart is, not necessarily changing anything. It's not that I wouldn't do something different next time, but it releases me from it, from them. It gives them a release. In other words, if someone is doing us wrong, okay, if I go into that room and I get beat up every time I go into that room, okay, they're still in there going to beat me up every time I go into that room. I can figure out, maybe I don't go in that room, but I can forgive them even though they're going to still go do the same thing again. I can release them from it. If I'm waiting for them to repent before I can release them, I'm still bound. They've got to be released before... That's when I find release. And that's where freedom is.
And you can only make something... You can only make it right, and if the person forgives you or doesn't forgive you, that's on them. It's not on
that's,
me.
That's right.
I had to learn that too.
Yep. Right. Exactly. They've not brought to fruition, brought to fruit.
But he still
in everybody.
Gave them, but they're still going to go to hell.
Right.
If they don't activate.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I mean, the people that were nailing him to the cross, he forgave them.
Right there.
Unless
they activate it themselves and take the same thing that he did and give it to someone else, it's of no value. It's a card hanging on the wall. It's there. All you got to do is run it through the machine, type a number in it, and it's real. Forgiveness is available. But whether it actually is applied to me is waiting on me.
And there comes a time, no matter what happens to you in your life, and no matter what road you went down, you have to accept responsibility for your actions, no matter what you're doing. I mean, at some point, it's your decision on the way you're acting. I mean, does that make any sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's our responsibility.
Glorious things of thee are spoken. free.